Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Hello, everybody. This is Natalie, also known as Starscast, and you can hear the bird, one bird. I have two birds that are going to be leaving my house tonight. Yay! And I have sugar gliders I've been taking care of. Well, there's three to sing. But anyways, everybody knows who I am, but I like to tell everybody that I have a Starscast is my name, and I got that back in, oh gosh, when I worked for America Online, believe it or not, many years ago. I want to talk to you a little bit about what's going on. Stars Psychics, that starts with a Z, psychics.com. We are just about ready today, I believe. We will be going live with the Stars classes. We have PDFs with audio and without. Teach you how to read tarot cards. And, of course, I have my own tarot cards, and I'm filling out the form today to get them printed. You'll see them on the advert that's going to be on all my sites, all three sites, Mystic Living Today, PlanetStars.com, and StarsWithAZPsychics.com. All of them will have the click-through link, and you'll be able to see what it is and what we offer. And I'm kind of excited. This is just a launch kind of thing of something. But, you know, everything takes time. Every morning, now the two gals, my designer and the gal who writes a lot of it, are both in other countries. So they're all, you know, my morning is their night. So we have to coordinate, and the more I talk, the more Maury is squeaking. We have to coordinate. So as soon as I get up in the morning, I've got all these messages, you know, because it's their night, and, you know, they want to solidify things. But we've got it down to a science, so it's not a big deal, and I'm up late. So I try not to get online until about 11, but sometimes, online per se. I mean, I've got my phone, so I've got things going all the time. But anyways, that's what's going on there, of course, and we still have the 10 minutes for $10. I don't know how long I'll keep that. Probably a long time. It's just something, if you only want a dollar a minute, that's pretty good, I think. I don't do free minutes. We used to. Years ago, I had it for so long, and that's a tough ad, you know, because people will get their free 3 minutes, and then off they go. So that's not what it's about. I mean, you can't run a site if people are just doing free. I mean, I have site bills, and I have to pay my staff and all of that. So I had it for quite a few years. Anyways, I'll come up with something else. I'm sure I always do. And now Mystic Living Today, you know, that was, I always thought that was like my dark horse, that it would come from behind, like, because it was started like in my living room, a bunch of us decided, I didn't even know what an e-zine was, and that began in 1999. So you're thinking, oh man, she's old. Yeah, well, I guess I am, but I'm young at heart, so that's what counts, right? But anyways, that's been going good. The new issue is up. My guest that I'm going to introduce, there's something about his work in the last month. And you never know, I could ask him for something else, because once I get their email addresses, you know, that's it. You're mine. You belong to me. I'm just kidding. I just always say that, my this, my that. But that's terms of endearment for me and coming from me. But anyways, I'm going to stop talking right now. And without further ado, I'm going to bring my guest. He is a master at what he does. And I want to bring in Franz Steine. How are you today, Franz?
I'm very good, thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, did I pronounce your last name right?
It sounds good to me. It's
okay, well, then we'll go with it, because I'm just going to call you Franz. Anyways, Franz is a master, a Reiki master, and he's done so much. And a lot of people, they know that there is such a thing as Reiki, but they don't understand. There are modalities that go with it. I'm a two. I never went any further because all of a sudden my life got really busy. But Reiki is, I'm going to let Franz tell you all about it, but Reiki has been around and he'll tell us how long, but it's very, very unique. And you can get it, and I don't even know what it's called. I have to find out from him. But on my certification, it's got this, let's see, what is it called? Something Sui, and I don't know if that's, he's going to tell us what does that mean, Franz? When you get a certification, and it's like, say you certified me, okay, does it come from whoever certified you from the very beginning? What does the certificate mean, and what does that sign, you know, what does that mean for people?
Well, that's a really good question. You know, for me, a certificate is just a piece of paper. The real practice comes from, you know, really sitting on your butt and doing the practice. So the system of Reiki was created in the late 1800s, beginning 1900s by a Japanese person called Mikao Sui. And nowadays, when people hear the word Reiki, we often think it's hands-on healing. Some people even think it's a kind of a massage, but traditionally it was a spiritual practice and to help you to become less angry, less worried, more grateful, more true to your way and your being, and more compassionate, for example. And so now when you do these trainings, you get the certificate, but there is no overall organization. But it's a bit like this, you know, these days you can kind of can buy a black belt of any kind of thing in a shop, but doesn't mean, you know, and you can wear it, doesn't mean you're a good martial arts practitioner. So the real practice comes really from our direct experience.
Okay, and true, in France, now you can do distance healing also with it, can't you?
Yes, indeed. I mean, ultimately, it's about realizing that we're all interconnected already. You know, we kind of all breathing the same air. We're all made of the same elements of earth, water, fire, air, and space. So the deeper elements of distance healing is actually realizing that there is no distance at all, that we're all interconnected with each other.
Right. I mean, my friend Ricky is the one that I got one and two from her. And I had no idea what it was, you know, and she explained it to me, and in her bio, when she worked for me, she'd have all of this and lots of add-ons that she did. So I want to know, how did you get started with this? I mean, we all know that doors open for us, and we meet somebody, and something clicks, and we get this idea, I want to do that. Or how did this start for you?
Well, I'm originally from the Netherlands, and when I was 30, I started to travel in Asia, and I was in India. And in India, I already, from when I was a very young kid, I had severe back problems. So when I grew older, in my late 20s, these back problems increased. The doctors couldn't do anything. So I was in the Himalayas in a place called Ladakh, very beautiful, and I was suffering from my back problems, and I met this guy, and he said, oh, there's some local shamans. He's going to do some healing. Do you want to go along there? And she did something for me what just blew my mind. And when she did that, I felt I disappeared. I felt all this heat going through my body. I started to cry. And before that, I was never interested in any kind of spiritual practice. And then after whatever happened, I started to look into spirituality. So I started to look into yoga and Ayurveda, Buddhism. And I, by coincidence, I bought a book on the system of Reiki. And then by coincidence, I met a Reiki teacher. And then for a year, I had a Reiki center in Darjeeling, India, in the Himalayas, where I was doing a lot of volunteer work.
Wow. But so see exactly how it started for you. You were actually delved into something else, and it led you to something else. And that's, I talk about this all the time on the radio to everybody, because we all get started in some way. Now, you have an awesome website, which I will give the address to. I'm wondering now, is it, do you do a lot of traveling because of it? Or, because you're in Holland right now, well, you're not right now, you're in the States, but in Holland, do you do a lot of hands-on with people? Do you have classes? Well, how do you do this? I'm really trying to figure out all that you do here. You know, I mean, I've got some questions I should ask you. Okay, I have one here. Give me a brief description of what Reiki is exactly, which you did. How does Japanese Reiki differ from other types? You also have a card deck.
Yeah, there's lots of things. So I've been doing it now for, I'm 56, so I started when I was 30, and started with writing a book called the Reiki Source Book, and then over time, more Reiki books, and my new book, what comes out this month, actually, it's The Way of Reiki, The Inner Teachings of Miko Sui. It's doing really well already. It's not even out, so I'm really happy. It's was as number one with the paperback and number two with the Kindle on Amazon as the hot new releases. So, yeah, so I teach actually worldwide. I just taught in Australia and England, Holland. I've just been teaching here in Seattle, Los Angeles, and now in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. So it's actually, yeah, my life is traveling around the world and doing teachings, but also hands-on healing on people.
Well, I would think that everybody would benefit from that. Now, there is a Japanese Reiki. Is that what? How does that differ? Is it Japanese? What's the difference?
Well, what happens, you know, like it originated in Japan, and then with many kind of things, it started to travel to the West, and then people start to change. It's like a bit Chinese whispers in a way, and it's a little bit like yoga. Now, for example, if I type in yoga on Instagram, and I look at some Instagram posts, it looks more like acrobatics. And the yoga component of like spiritual awakening is a little bit kind of changing. So when I first learned the system of Reiki, it was a very modern practice what I learned. And I became very intrigued in how it was practiced in Japan. So since 2001, I started to go regularly to Japan. And since 2012, I'm training with a Japanese priest who is teaching me the more traditional sides of also where the founder of the system of Reiki took his teachings from.
It's so complex. Okay, so if you get someone who says, okay, Franz, I want to learn this, and I want to be able to do something for people. How does it begin? What do you do with them in the beginning? I know what happened with me, and it was all long distance. I mean, she showed me how to use the hands. I mean, she sent me pictures and everything. But I would think the advantage would be if they could be with you in a room. Like, do you teach a lot of students at one time? Do you do one-on-one mostly? Tell me how if I came to you and I said, okay, Franz, I want to do this. I want to learn how to do this. Well, how do you start?
Yeah, like, for example, within the system of Reiki, there's Reiki 1, 2, and 3. And traditionally, Reiki 1 is called Shodan. And in Japanese, that means beginner's teaching. And that's really for yourself. And I don't teach these classes online. I'm very much on an in-person advocate, because, you know, I can say to you, oh, I send you a hug and we can look at each other and I hug you on the internet, but if we actually hug in person, it's very different, right? So for me, this is why I still travel the world teaching people in person. And the first step is really working on yourself, you know, for I always say I cannot be kind to someone else if I don't know how to access this kindness in myself.
Well, you know, I think you're really right. I mean, I know you're really right. I don't have to say I think, because I know you are. But I know, dealing with my friend Ricky, it was not, I'm sure it wasn't as beneficial for me, right? It couldn't have been. I mean, it would be like, between you and her, I mean, I would be with you one-on-one. And, I mean, she could talk to me on the phone and everything, but it just wasn't the same, you know? And I guess I'm understanding that more and more that, I mean, that people offer it online. You know that, Franz. That, you can get this, you can get that. But really, I think it should be one-on-one with your teacher, I think. And like you said, you can get certificates, you know, till the sky falls. But if you don't practice it and if you don't understand it and if you don't – because, see, one-on-one with you, I could ask questions. Well, why do I have to do it this way? Why do I have to do it that way? And you know me, yeah. Talking to me right now, you know I probably have hundreds of questions. So, but that's how you learn. And when you do something online, you don't have that opportunity, I don't think. It's not as easy. I mean, it makes it difficult for the teacher. Okay, so now tell us about you. What does it mean to be a master? I mean, I know you've got all the experience in the world, but I want to know, what does it mean exactly?
Well, that's a really good question. There's a wonderful Japanese saying, and it goes from this very famous Japanese teacher, and it says, he says, if you call yourself a master, you are not. And because, you know, Reiki means traditionally spiritual energy or enlightenment. And so that means that if we call ourselves a master, then we are a master of enlightenment. But I cannot say that I'm like that. So I call myself actually a Reiki teacher. There's lots of people who call themselves Reiki master, and that's fine. But for me, it doesn't feel right. So for me, a master is someone who really, you know, like a master who is a violin player, who masters this violin playing, like
right.
Jojo Ma, for example. Then I can say, and in Japan also, actually, you don't call yourself a master. Other people can say, oh, that's a master, but you cannot call yourself a master, what I find very fascinating, because then it makes you more humble in a way as well. And so for me, as a Reiki teacher, is first of all, again, if I want to help other people and impart that spirituality, I need to make sure that I sit on my own butt, do my practices. So within the system of Reiki, there's actually lots of meditation practices, there's lots of visualization practices, there's certain mantras traditionally you chant. And this is also why I keep going to this priest, you know, and when we train together, it's very intense. And the founder of the system of Reiki, he did, for example, a 21-day meditation practice on this mountain. And these practices in Japan are still done. And you actually don't eat and drink. And it's you practice for 20 hours a day. And it's really, really,
how do you
really,
do
really
that? How do you do that,
yeah,
Bob? How do you have the energy to do all that if you don't drink and have any food?
Yeah, that is where they really sustain themselves through very intense practices. So I don't think, you know, it's very hard to do for us modern people, but
right.
I did, for in a temple in Japan, I trained in this temple for a week and a half. It wasn't that long, but a week and a half, where we started actually at 4 a.m. till about 1 p.m. And we did that for a week and a half, and I was still eating and drinking. Man, that was tough, though. It was really hard. But then it gives you an idea what we can access for our own energy and for our own spirituality to help other people.
Well, you will do virtual online. So in other words, you like do it via Zoom or something like that so they can actually see you, right?
I don't really teach Reiki 1, 2, and 3 online, but I have like support for students because I believe in this ongoing support. So for example, I have a online in November, 21 days live, and then for half an hour a day, we practice together. And so I have like these support practices for students.
Okay, I'm sorry. I have something going on here. I lost my train of thought because I wanted to tell you that I was sorry there was an interruption. so continuing on. Okay, so you do online, you do through Zoom, things like that. You would rather do one-on-one, I'm sure, correct?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so now I'm getting this feeling. This, you remind me of, I know a Chinese man and a Japanese man. They write poetry. There's just something about what I'm getting from you. You're so similar to them. You, first of all, are very disciplined. I know that. You have to be to do what you do. But
yeah,
I,
absolutely.
You know, I think the people that I interviewed once, a Tibetan, a monk, and he told me what he did, and then he just blew me away. I mean, but, you know, I think you're right. I think when you're old school and not, I don't have to say, I don't want to say that you're old. Somebody has to be old. But you know what I'm saying? You get your training, and you don't know any other way but to do it the way that you're taught from an elder. Like this monk told me, he said, you know, you actually go up on a mountain. You know, you are there. You don't talk. You don't, all you do is pray. I mean, you have to give them a lot of credit and you a lot of credit, because you have to be able to sustain yourself, like you said, and have that inner calm about you. But I think that, like you said, modern people, because they're out and about and they're doing this and they're doing, they really don't understand what it's like when you've not been exposed to what we've been in everyday life, and all you know is what you've been trained in, where you live, like if you live in Tibet or China or Japan, or those that you're learning, that's what you know. You don't know anything else, and you don't want to know anything else. Isn't it true? I mean, I can just imagine, after I talked to this man, and then I talked to this man from, who lives in Jerusalem, and of course I told him that I was so envious, and he said, why? I said, because you can go where Jesus was on the crucifix. He said, you want to go there? I said, absolutely. I said, if you are really spiritual, and that's another thing too, Franz, I think you have to believe with everything you have that this is the way. This is what I need to do. This is what you need to do. And now he's saying, let's go, let's go, let's go. I mean, she's a trip, isn't she, this bird? But anyway, I think, I don't know. I mean, how do they, I really want to know how they do it. I asked the man, and I'm asking you, because you did do some of it, but you couldn't do days and days and days. I mean, you'd collapse. Where do they get this from? Is it come from inside? How do they do this?
Yeah, I was very fortunate, or I have been very fortunate. For example, when I lived in the Himalayas, I also met this Tibetan monk. And he asked me what I was doing, and it was all very new for me. I said Reiki, and it's like hands-on healing. And then he points his hand to me, and the quality of the energy, the vibration, the depth just blew me away.
Yep.
And he just came out of a meditation retreat of 3 years in a cave with his teacher. And so I've been very fortunate to have met with what I call like real masters in the Himalayas, Chinese masters, Tibetan masters. I've met Tibetan masters who are also in Japan, who are seen as like living Buddhas. And when you feel their healing capacity, I mean, it's like unbelievable. And then for me, when I meet these kind of people, for me, it was really obvious that I was just scratching the surface. And I thought, I want to have what they have. And it's not that they have something unique. It's something we all have within ourselves. But we, you know, those people train from when they were a kid, you know, like they're 3, 4, 5 years old, and they start already training. So their inside, their personal experience is so deep, and you can feel it. You know, it's like when you meet a Dalai Lama, the quietness of their mind.
Right.
Even
I've read that about him. Yes, I've read that. Yeah.
Even that you know, the Dalai Lama might be doing a dance, you still feel that quality of mind is so quiet and so vast and open and deep. So then I think, wow, I want to have what he is having. And ultimately, we all have that. So, yeah, I think it's for some people, that dedication, that practice. But it definitely helped me that I met a lot of these very old yogis and yoginis, those real masters, where they showed me what their quality was. And therefore, that really inspired me to dig deeper.
Well, you have to be able to be in your own space. You have to be quiet. You have to center yourself. I mean, I'm just getting this information that I think, I don't know. I'm trying to think. I can quiet myself if I go sit outside. Don't take anything, no phones, no nothing. Just sit there. I can be quiet and not really have my mind wandering off. Well, I need to do this and I need to do that. That's what you have to do, is learn how to quiet your mind. You cannot be thinking. You have to just sit. And I mean, I admire them. Every one of them that I have ever talked to, including yourself, I have admired, because it takes a certain type of person. I'm very vocal. Well, you can tell by, I ask a lot of questions. When I was a little girl and I met somebody like you, or this monk that I interviewed, maybe I would be more quiet. Maybe I would. But you know, when I was young, Franz, a little girl in school, I was really quiet and shy. And you just said it. When you're 4 or 5 years old, you see, you have not experienced the world. You are in your own environment, however it's contained. And I think back to when I was little, and I listened, but I don't know if I was really there or not, or wandering with my mind. I have no idea. But I was very quiet and very shy. And now I'm just the opposite. And people say, you were shy? I said, oh, yeah, I didn't. And, you know, it's strange when you mention. Huh?
I had exactly the same.
See, you know, and something changes. You get experience with all these other kinds of people. And if you could just stay like you are, and they do, they must. Let's think of it. France, they have to. They have to stay as they were when they were real little, and they had their parents, and their parents must have been like that too. Because that's where you learn, or I don't even say they had to learn it. It was just within them. And I think it's within all of us, you know, except except that as we go along and grow and experience things and different kinds of people, we learn, oh, maybe I need to, maybe this is the way. But I think the more you can be still, the more information you're going to get. And
absolutely.
You're just going to be. And you're just going to be in a better place. But it's hard to quiet your mind. Like for me today, this morning, I mean, I had to think. I talked to myself. I have a cat, and his name is Mushy, and I'm Mushy. And then I've got this bird talking. But Mushy, I said, we've got to quiet ourselves here, you know. And it's like being a cat. You have to walk around, not say very much. Observe and don't talk. Like you don't talk when you're in school.
And that's the hardest part, right? That quieting of our mind. And then we also have to learn how to be quiet in stressful situations, like maybe at work or when we go shopping in the mall, those kind of things.
Exactly.
Yeah, I also trained for 12 years with a Chinese master. I call her really a master. And she
Why do you
grew
call
up.
Her a master? Why? Why?
Because he had such a wide, calm, open state of mind. For me, she was like the Dalai Lama, like so compassionate, so wide open, trained already from when she was 3 years old in the mountains in China as a Taoist practitioner. And you could just feel it. This is true. So we would meet up for sessions, and then she would walk out of the door, and occasionally I would just walk quickly behind her to see if she did not evaporate. She had this kind of quality of her energy.
Wanted to know if she was real. Is she still going to be there when I go through the door?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, because it was like, it was almost bordering to magic, you know, and not magic what we see in a magic show, but that, you know, what you hear of these ancient yogis and yoginis and these ancient masters feels like that. And again, she didn't advertise. I was very fortunate to have met her and trained with her for 12 years. And the same with my current teacher in Japan. You cannot just go to him. And this is also really where I've based my new book on the way of Reiki, the inner teachings of Mikasui, that really, that more deeper understanding so that modern practitioners can have a look at that and say, oh, wow, this actually, we can take our practice deeper. We can always improve, you know, and I think that's with anything where we can sometimes, I think as practitioners or teachers, we become a bit stagnant and sometimes we need another kick in the butt to say, hey, actually, we can improve. You know, it's like cooking. I can make a great meal, but then maybe it would be nice if I improve a little bit and do another way of that. And so, yeah, that's one of the reasons I wrote my latest book.
And then you have you had a card deck, I know, right? I'm going to go back to your, I'm going to mention your site here. I mean, while you're talking, I mean, I can do a lot of things at one time. I'm listening to you and then I'm looking at some of these things and I'm just getting this really nice feeling. Your site is I, like the letter I, HREIKI.com. I think you have encompassed so much on this site, Franz. I mean, if I was going to it and I'd say, okay, well, what is this? Well, I want to know. Okay, well, you've got it all here. You have your virtual classes that you have, your practice, and you can do it monthly. You can do however you want to do it. I mean, it's all here. Now, you have somebody else here. Her name is Brawen Logan. Now, is that your wife?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's my
very
partner.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so,
she's very pretty. Oh, she's pretty. Very pretty. Okay, so now, was she already into this like you, or did you meet someplace? That's what I'm curious about.
Yes, he is at the moment my business partner. And so we met first when I was 21. She's originally from Australia. And when I was 21, I traveled through Australia for a year. I like traveling and seeing things and exploring the world. And so that's how we met, and so then we got both involved into the system of Reiki. She's living in Australia now, and I live here in Holland. So, yeah, so it's great to have support. I think also when you set up a business that you can support each other in that journey. And for me, that's also really important that we create community, like what you are doing, you know, with your shows, with your websites, really creating a healing community. And that for me is so wonderful. Like I just arrived here in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and already I've met some wonderful friends here. We had a nice little lunch and then we hang out. And it's for me, healing is not just doing a class, but it's being together in also our daily life or when we have lunch or cry and laugh, and that there is this worldwide support. And for me, that is really important.
Yeah, you know, the show, like we talked about before we got on the air, I don't know how many I've done. I guess Candy says I've done about 263, because in the early days we were doing topics and I had a co-host then. And so, but I have, in my own way, experienced all kinds, all walks of life. And that's what's, you know, a lot of people said, don't stop what you're doing. Because what it does is it shows people, I mean, you're just a regular person. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're not
someone
sitting on a pedestal somewhere. And I think it's important for people to understand that it really is, it's a small world, and you can touch everybody if you really want to, you know. And this just kind of evolved. My show just kind of evolved. If you would have told me I was going to be doing this, even when I started my magazine, I would have laughed. Oh, no, I'm not good talking to people that I don't know, but you know what? I found that I probably do my very best when I don't know you at all.
Yeah.
And I get a little
Absolutely.
Synopsis. You know, and I can, because it's a talk show. It's not a Q&A, because that's very formal. I don't like it that way. I don't like to say, well, Franz, I've got all these questions. Just answer them, and then we're done. No, it doesn't work like that. So,
yeah.
You know, I do it this way because it's just, it's so informative, because I'm learning as well as the listeners are learning, and this is recorded, so... You know, my Candy, who's in the chat room right now, I wonder if she's, she might have some questions for you. I don't know. But I'm very, very fortunate because I have people around me that love me, that work for me. And I don't stress myself out like I used to. I guess I'm learning because it doesn't pay to do that. All you do is hurt yourself when you stress. It can be mental. It can be physical. You can get headaches, you know what I'm saying? And then
Indeed,
we need,
yeah.
Then we need some hands-on with a Reiki master like you. Okay, fix me. I want to be fixed. But I know from experience that all of this does work. Do you ever get somebody that comes to you and says, oh, you have to prove this to me. I don't believe you.
Yeah, indeed. And the best way, I always say, well, go and lay down and I do a treatment for you. And then they go, oh, is this what it is, you know? And some, but I think that is so wonderful what we have these days. We've got yoga, tai chi, qigong, all sorts of practices. And it's the same. Some people like Thai food. Some people like pizza. Some people like a steak. Some people are vegan, and ultimately everything is food. Everything fills our belly. So these days there's so many wonderful practices what we can access, and it doesn't have to be Reiki. It could be anything, as long as I think for me is very much the system of Reiki, of getting a state of mind where we're less angry, less worried, that we're more kind, because that is so needed in this world today.
Well, if you can... But you have to be able to be alone with self, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the first point of thing, you know, really.
Now,
I'll tell you what I
found if I do is, I don't have access to my phones, and I don't even have to be outside. I like to be outside. I'm in South Carolina, so the weather is almost perfect every day. Not perfect, but, I mean, you can be outside. You can wear a little sweater or whatever. Now, I'm not originally from here. I'm from Michigan, which I call it the land of ice and snow. So, I don't miss that at all. But anyways, I found that if you don't have outside stimulation, of any stimuli at all, and you sit there and just close your eyes, and usually my, and you don't have a bird like this, and usually my cat will come with me. He's very soothing, and animals will do that. Animals are good for that. Maybe he gives me my Reiki. I don't know, you know. But if you can do that, then you open yourself up to beautiful things that can happen for you. It doesn't matter. It can be when you can listen to self and you can just be still, you'd be surprised at what can come to you.
Absolutely,
now,
yeah.
You know, yeah. It's true. I tell everybody I feed mallards, and I have since they were little babies, and I have deer that I feed. And I'm going to tell you something, Franz. They are the best. It's something that I look forward to, and at the end of the day, because I feed the deer at night, I look forward to it because I know I'm going to feel so good once I go step outside and they're there waiting for me. I have this with animals like that, and I smile and I'll say hello. I give them names, and then the mallards that I feed in the morning, the babies and the moms now, I'll say, well, good morning, and how are we today? And I talk real low to them and real nice and calm, and starts my day off right and ends my day off right. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, but this is, I noticed this for me too, you know, during COVID, I could travel less, of course.
Yes.
And so my daily practice was also not just doing my own meditation practice, but actually going into town a few times where I live and just talk to random strangers. And you could see if you approach people in a calm, open way with a
yes.
smile, their reactions was just so wonderful. And
it is.
I made a wonderful friends through this, you know. And but again, we have to first find that calmness, that inner smile
right.
within ourselves to be able to share that with people. And then for me already, this is so healing, you know, when you meet someone and you talk to them and you, whatever, you have a little laugh with them and you smile. That in itself is already a beautiful healing practice.
It is. And when I was going out a lot, I found myself, I'd see people, and if they looked my way, I'd say, hello, how are you today? Is there anything I can help you with? Honestly, in a store, I would do that. And I don't, you know, a lady called me. She says, you're an angel. She says, nobody's ever done that. And I said, well,
yeah.
I mean it. Can I reach something for you? Can I do? And I didn't work at the store, but I felt so good when I did that, because these people who were walking around kind of frowning, if I said something to them, I'd watch them, and they had a different step. They had a different look on their faces because somebody was kind to them. And I
absolutely, yeah.
It's really true. My son is the same way. And, you know, if you're open and you treat people with kindness, oh, my goodness, it's a wonderful thing. It's just so wonderful. And all the interactions.
I'll tell you the story. Go ahead.
No.
I'll tell you the story. So I flew just from, I was teaching in Los Angeles. And so tonight or last night, I had the red eye flight from Los Angeles to Baltimore to go to Lancaster. So I entered the plane and I sit next to the window. So I want to sit there, but there's two other people sitting there. And they say to me, oh, do you mind if you would sit somewhere else? My mother is sitting two seats before this, and she would like to sit next to us. I said, no, of course, no problem. So the lady goes and sit on my spot, and I go and sit on her spot. And then 2 seconds later, a flight attendant comes and said, oh, I just heard a conversation. That is so kind of you. Do you have your boarding pass? I said, yeah, I have it here. I said, well, give me the boarding pass. And I'll give you a little gift that you did this. And then I got back here, and I look at my email, and I got a voucher of $75. And I thought, wow, isn't that great? I didn't do
because
it for
you,
that.
Because you switched seats.
Just because I switched seats, and she was so kind and thought that it was so kind of me that on a red-eye flight, I didn't mind sitting in the middle instead of next to the window where I could lean against the window.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, isn't it great, you know, when we open up. And I see it a bit like this. To give something,
nice.
I have to open my hand. But to receive, I also have to open my hand, right? So giving
yes.
and receiving, we both have to open our hand. And often people find it so difficult to give something, and then they will say, oh, I never received anything, no love, no kindness. I said, yeah, but you have to open your hand first.
Actually, and two, you know, Franz, if you're kind to somebody, maybe you won't get all that kindness that you gave, but you're going to get something in return from it. There's always a return, always.
Absolutely.
I haven't been on a plane very much, but the last time I was on a plane, my son was sitting in a different spot, and I had to go sit in the middle of these two big ladies. And I'm little. I'm 5'2", 100 pounds, right? And
okay.
And they were both black ladies. And I was born and raised in Detroit, so I have no problem with anything. So I, you know, they one stood up, and I sat down, and I thought, oh, what is this going to be like? But you know what? I started talking to them, as you figure I would. I would talk to you, too, and ask them where they were from and where they're going and all of that. And so the stewardess came around with peanuts, bags of peanuts, right? And so I'm, you know, I took my bag of peanuts and I ate them, and they kind of leaned ahead and looked at each other and said, she needs these more than we do. they gave me their penis, meaning they were these big, heavy ladies, and I was this little thing. And then the one, they were so kind to me, Franz, and then the one said, oh, you want some coffee? Are you cold? If you seem to be cold. I said, oh, I would love it. Maris, we're holding our hand. Maris, we need some coffee over here. It was the cutest thing because they were, like, working for me. They were working for me, Franz. They just by the little bit of kindness, I didn't go there and sit down with them with an attitude at all. Well, first of all, because of where I came from. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of anything, you know. And it was just in the way they asked why I was coming from Atlanta, and I had been in Detroit. My best friend had passed away, and I was there to hold her. You'll love this. She waited for me to arrive. And she held on, and I was there. Her daughter didn't stay in the room. Her husband didn't stay in the room. It was me holding her, and my son was holding me. It was the most beautiful thing. I didn't cry. Her daughter is my goddaughter, and I just whispered to her, and I said, I'll take good care of her. Don't worry. It's okay to go. It is. It's okay.
Yeah.
But
that's it, right? We have to just hold each other in love and kindness.
Right. And her daughter sends me a text every day. She's in Denver right now. She sends me a text. We've been doing this since my friend passed away, and she passed away in 2016. And so you see how it filtered in. And my friend told me, months before she passed away, she said, well, I'm more worried about my husband than Heather. And I said, well, that's her daughter, my goddaughter. And I said, why? She said, because she'll always have you. I said, well, I said, Franz, that just solidified everything that I'm about and what I do. And if I can help, I'll help. I can say, no, I can't do that. But invariably, I can do something. But anyways,
absolutely.
I'm sure you've
There's
had experiences.
Something.
But look at your experience on the plane. Look what you did.
Yeah.
And look what you got.
Well, this is. And I think we always can do something. And if we can't do anything, just smile. Just be kind, right? That's it. And we all can be kind, ultimately.
Exactly. And I want to give your site again. It's IHReiki, IHReiki.com. I should say that again, IHReiki.com. I think, and I'm going to go here over here to all the stuff. You've got a shop. I'm assuming that's where your card deck is. What made you do a card deck?
The card deck, unfortunately, is out of print, but maybe I should do another one again.
I love these kind
of card decks. Yeah,
I think you should, because you know what? I'm going to have you back on my show. I can tell you that much, because
okay.
I was looking so forward to talking with you, because I just knew it would go really smooth, and I would get a great experience, and you would be a recipient also, because you see, you receive. You give and you receive, and that's really what's so important about it all. I don't know. I'm looking at everything. You do private teachings. You have just so much here. You have courses. You have treatments. You explain what Reiki is. Some people say Reiki, but it's Reiki, isn't it?
Yeah. We all have different accents, so it's like my surname. I don't really mind what people say.
Yeah, exactly. This project that you're on, are you promoting your book yet, or are you going to wait further until you get closer to November, because it comes out next month, actually?
No,
right?
Actually, it's interesting because on Amazon it's coming out next month, but it is already spotted in some bookstores, and so I've been doing quite a lot of promotion, like interviews, and of course when I'm teaching and traveling, and that's why it's already doing very well, and I'm really happy about it, because it's a very different Reiki book than a lot of the standard Reiki books, because it really focuses on the more traditional essential teachings of the system of Reiki. So it's yeah, it's quite a deep book for existing practices and people who are already practicing, or even people who are new, you know, I want to know more about the system.
Well, that's what I hope to do with the show. I think I'll push it out on Twitter, and I'll put a little note there that if you've ever wanted to know about it, this is the place to go. This is someone that you should really seek to get connected with. Yeah, the book is called The Way of Reiki, right? The Inner
yeah.
Teachings. Now there's different. I started to ask you about this. Usui is sometimes like, and you said certification doesn't mean anything because it's paper. But you get that. Like if you certified me, okay, what would my certification have as far? Your name would be there, but then is it
yes.
your teacher that would be there also?
Well, for me, it's really that because I'm teaching you, that's the most important thing. We can have a lineage, of course, but then I have what I call like my teachings are called Usui Reiki Reo, what is Usui's method or Usui's healing method, however you translate it. But it's, yeah, it's that you actually, again, you know, for me is we could wear robes, we could have our head shaved, we could wear prayer beads, we could have a crystal in our pocket. If we're not kind, then that doesn't help at all, really. So for me, it's a piece of paper or spiritual
yeah.
clothing or spiritual something that really comes in our daily action and the daily action of being kind and compassionate to our fellow human beings.
That's the bottom line. That's what it is. Candy has some
yeah.
questions here. She says, because she's in the chat room, she says, how much time do you spend traveling between the different countries in your practice? So you're in Pennsylvania, Lancaster. How long will you stay there?
I'm here for 10 days.
Oh, okay.
And I was just 7 days in L.A., and before that I was 7 days in Seattle.
Well, you're just bebopping everywhere, aren't you?
Yeah, actually last month I was in August, I was in Australia, and I was in Italy and in Holland, of course, teaching. November and December I stay in Holland, so that will be more quiet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's a lot of do you celebrate Thanksgiving over there?
Not really, but
okay.
We have some other festivals, but you know, you can't again, we can keep traveling, but we also have to look after ourselves. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You have to sit back and take a deep breath and say, okay, I don't have to go anywhere tomorrow. I don't have to do anything tomorrow. I do that, and I don't travel, but I do that. I'm so happy some days when I don't have to do anything, you know. But
yeah,
very,
indeed,
very
it's nice
because,
to do it too, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, like pretty soon I'll be sending out my reminders for my magazine, and then I have to do that, and that's I put my headphones on. You would love this. I put my headphones on when I'm doing my magazine, and I'm like I'm in another world. I'm on a different plane. I am creating. I am learning because I read everything that I put in the magazine. Every piece that goes in there, I have read. And I'm a fast reader, and I read differently. My eyes kind of spread out, so I don't go, the cat is going outside. I'll see other lines at the same time, but I comprehend
yeah.
it. I don't. My granddaughter always says to me, "I wish I could read like you." And I said, "Well," she says, "How do you do that?" I said, "I don't know. I've always done that, but I've always been a good reader, and maybe that's why. Maybe that's just a little gift that I have that I've just always had it. I could always do it, and I could always
yeah.
retain what I would read because I was really good with book reports and oral reports, telling." You know, the class, what the book was about, in my own words. And but anyway, then she's got another question. How long did it take you to write The Way of Reiki, your latest book, The Inner Teachings of Mikao Usui? How long did it take you to write that book?
Oh, now that is an interesting question. So it actually didn't take me that long because what I do, for me, is like almost like an accumulation of my teachings. So I sat down at 6 in the morning till about midnight for 2 weeks.
That's it?
Yeah, but for me, then, you know, when I do something, I'm super focused. So then
yeah.
I work really. I'm not saying I've got to write for half an hour. I sit down 6 a.m, write till, well, with a little break here and there till kind of
yes.
midnight, and then I do that for 2 weeks. Yeah.
Wow, that's great concentration and discipline. But that doesn't surprise me about you at all. I can hear it in your voice.
Thank you.
I really can. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you remind, you know, I've told you, you reminded me of some people, but you also remind me of somebody who would be Japanese. I get that sense in you that, because I've talked to a lot of them, you know, and you haven't given me any surprises except that you solidified everything that I thought you were. You didn't disappoint
okay.
me at all. No, you did not disappoint
you.
Me at all. No. And I'm just so happy you were on the show. Just wonderful. Just so wonderful for us. And Candy, I know she's enjoying it. And she's going to take the recording that I'm going to push out. She's going to run with it. And I've got a lot of work for her this week because our classes are going to be on the site. And Tony, my webmaster, is doing that, making it go live right now. So, but you see, I'm blessed. I am blessed by everything that I have, and I think it's because of everything that I have been all my life that, I mean, I've been doing this, you know, the radio show, like I said, 10 years, but my first site, I started in 1998 when the internet
yes,
was nothing.
Beautiful.
It was
yeah.
nothing. But the show, I was kind of convinced I should carry on the show after my co-host passed away. We did topics. And he said to me, I'm going to interview you. So he interviewed me the first week because I didn't want to do it anymore. I just didn't have the heart. But he said to me, you have to do this. I said, why? He said, because I just know that this is going to go on a long time. And he brought me all my guests in the beginning. There was like 10, 15 of them. I didn't seek anybody out. And then all of a sudden, and this was the divine, I call it the divine, doing its work, I got all these authors that wanted me to talk to, not to them, but the publicists, like for me to talk to you. I mean, it all starts with somebody. It all begins
yeah.
that, you know, yeah, it's a connection. And I have so many connections now, it's unreal. Sometimes I have to push
so
them
off. That's
so
beautiful, isn't it?
It really, really is because I don't have to put – I had to put forth effort before, and same thing with my magazine, France. I had to beg people, would you please write something for the magazine? It was really small. Now, I mean,
yeah.
I'm inundated with the – oh, my gosh, I get so much stuff, you know. But you
yeah.
know what I do is once – you don't even have to be on my radio show, but once I make a connection with you, like I had this man that I had on a few weeks ago who went into this mental hospital that had closed. Oh my gosh, we talked and talked like you and I. So I wrote to him and I said, well, you know what? I told you you're mine. So I need you to spark up an article or something. So he sent me an excerpt for his book. But see, that's how it goes. And then pretty soon
yeah.
you have your regulars. And then sometimes I'll just say, well, I'll ask you. And if you can't, it's okay. But I'll keep you on my reminder list because the more you have, the more people are going to learn. And that's what I want with the magazine, mysticlivingtoday.com. It's my dream is to have it be a flip magazine, an actual magazine that you turn the pages. I have it set up. My designer gal has worked on it for me. It takes so much time. And, you know,
yeah.
you know, Franz, I have to make everybody submit everything a little earlier, and sometimes they drag their feet to the last day. And I don't want to do it every 2 months because I really enjoy what I do, and I love bringing the work out for everybody all the time. I don't want to skip a month. I don't want to skip 2 months. I don't want to do that. So, you know, that's why I hesitate with it. I'd have to have, of course, I would have her helping me, so it wouldn't be so bad. I put everything in. She sets it up. I don't throw it in, but, you know, you put it in, but it's the layout. It's all there. I wouldn't have to,
yeah.
it wouldn't miss a beat with me. It'd be so, because I've been doing this for how many years? My goodness, since 1999. Long time.
That's beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, thank you for all the beautiful work you do. I think, you know, we need to share more and more of these things, right?
Oh, absolutely. And that's why it's important to, you know, I've talked to people just from everywhere, like a monk and somebody from Jerusalem, and you know, they all say to me, where do you get all these questions? I said, because I want to learn, and I've never been there.
Yeah.
So it's easy. That's how I learned how to do my bookkeeping. And I've always been in the service of an area, always of service to others. That's what I am. And I figured it out a long time ago. It's not about me. It's about all of you. And so I'm, you know, that's just what it is. So I'm so happy we connected. The show's almost, well, it's almost over at 3 o'clock, but I knew we were going to work it out because you were determined. You know, when you came into the States, which was the easiest way for you to call in, all the people that call in from everywhere, doesn't matter. You use paid Skype. Some people had international calling. But I'm so happy we connected, and we will stay connected now, you know, because like I said.
Thank you.
Franz, you are mine. Anyways, I want everybody, I'm going to repeat your web address again. It's ihreiki.com, and you've got so much to look at. You've got all your works here that you've written. You tell what Reiki is about. You have treatments. You have courses. It's a very beautiful site, and if you when you go to it, you feel good. It's almost like you don't get this anxiousness. What you do is you feel really calm looking at it. And that's, I look at things that way. That's like my site. My webmaster wants to change the blue. And I said, no, that's my blue. And it makes everybody feel good. This represents Natalie. This is me. And, you know, he wanted to do it white and all this. I said, no, everybody else is white. I'm not everybody else. I'm Natalie.
Yeah,
and,
that's
and
it.
So
yeah, you have to be yourself.
You have to be yourself, and I'm not going to be, you know, coerced into doing something. And, you know, we're adding things, we're changing things. We can always do that. So, anyways, you have an awesome time there in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I have relatives in Pennsylvania. They are in Greensburg and Mount Pleasant. My grandparents were there. My parents lived there at one time when they were around,
beautiful
when they were young,
area.
You know. It is beautiful. A lot of mountains. It really, really is. What's the weather like? Is it nice? Is it cold?
Yeah, today is really nice, actually.
You would say it's really nice anyways.
Well, absolutely.
That's true.
What is nice and what is not nice, right? It all depends on the state of mind.
That's right. There you go. That's it, too. So have an awesome time there, and best wishes. And I will be emailing you. Now you know I'm going to do that. And I'm so happy that we connected. And and you're going to love how I end the show, Franz, is that this is what I always say. We play some music, but I end it this way. Believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. And with that, I'm going to say see everybody next week. I have another great guest, but you are awesome, Franz. You are just awesome, and you're welcome to listen to the music. It kind of ends the show in an upbeat mode, and it's called Free to Love by Gabby Ray, and it makes you feel good because you are free to love, and you should love. You should love everybody, right?
Indeed.
So take care and watch for my email, Franz. Now, I know you will. You'll answer. You always answer me right away, so it's awesome.
Okay, thank you, and have a wonderful rest of your day.
I will. Thank you. Here we go, everybody. It's free to love.
If everyone could be who they were really meant to be, without limitations, discrimination, this world could show all its colors, so get the chip off the shoulder.
for listening. Thank you, Candy, for all that you do. You know I love you very much. Remember, believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. Bye-bye.